morning, early birds. You've got the Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. A Glendive sand and gravel company fined for pollution. Lawmakers preparing to hold their first in-person interim legislative meetings. And the next installment of our series, Exploring Aging in Montana. It's Friday, June 12th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. Montana is joining most other U.S. states in a lawsuit accusing 26 drug manufacturers of conspiracy and price fixing. It's the third lawsuit of its kind Montana Attorney General Tim Fox has filed with other states' attorneys general since 2016. The most recent complaint filed in a federal court in Connecticut lists 80 drugs that states accuse companies of price fixing. The federal government this week announced it'll fine a Glendive sand and gravel company thousands of dollars for releasing polluted stormwater into a nearby watershed and other violations. Kayla DeRoche reports.
The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency will charge Fisher Sand and Gravel Company $95,000 for non-compliance with the Clean Water Act, pollutant discharge, failure to take corrective action, and failure to report, among other things. Mike Baglin is an EPA water program enforcement specialist and says the agency found evidence the facility had discharged polluted stormwater and concrete washout into the upper Seven Mile Creek watershed. He says those leaks would contain substances like petroleum and heavy metals and include high pH levels.
Those pollutants interfere with aquatic life and the entire aquatic ecosystem. They rob dissolved oxygen and they prevent those organisms from being able to thrive and reproduce.
An EPA document shows that the Montana Department of Environmental Quality first informed Fisher Sand and Gravel it was in violation of the Montana Water Quality Act in 2014, and the EPA got involved in 2015 when the business failed to comply. The business has locations in Glendive, Billings, and Livingston, as well as nationwide. The public can submit comments on the settlement until June 13th, after which it will be filed as an official penalty. Kayla DeRoche, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
The Department of Labor and Industry says Montana has paid out more than $10 million in potentially fraudulent unemployment claims during the COVID-19 pandemic. It also says it has stopped more than $220 million in fraudulent claims since late April. New applications for unemployment benefits declined this week, but the number of people who sought benefits is still more than twice as high as the same week last year. More than 24% of the state's workforce has been unemployed at some point since March 14th. The State Department of Corrections believes two inmates at the Montana Women's Prison have the COVID-19 illness. Samples from the inmates were sent to the State Public Health Lab for confirmation earlier this week. The presumed cases were identified as part of the Department of Corrections' effort to test inmates and staff at facilities across the state. So-called sentinel testing samples a portion of the population with the goal of identifying carriers of the illness who are not showing symptoms. Corrections has tested 616 inmates and 102 staff members statewide as part of this testing strategy. A handful of inmates and a staff member at the Yellowstone County Detention Center in late May tested positive for the illness. Montana is currently reporting 58 active cases of COVID-19 and 7 hospitalizations. Next week, Montana lawmakers will hold their first in-person interim legislative meetings since the novel coronavirus pandemic began. Kevin Trevlin reports that related safety precautions will make meetings at the Capitol look a bit different.
For one, legislative staff will be required to wear face masks at the Capitol to prevent spreading the virus. That includes researchers, attorneys, IT workers, and others. Susan Fox, executive director of the Legislative Services Division, says that mandate follows recommendations from Governor Steve Bullock's most recent reopening directive and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
As an employer, I'm responsible for my staff and keeping them safe and keeping the environment safe. I think I'm doing the responsible thing to restrict our liability and also to protect those that we come in contact with.
Fox says staff have been, quote, very cooperative, unquote, with the mask requirement. As for additional precautions, rooms were rearranged to allow 6 feet between committee members. Tables, microphones, and gear will be sanitized after each meeting. State health officials will also provide voluntary temperature checks and evaluations to help lawmakers determine whether they're feeling symptoms.
You know, we've got everything set up as much as we can logistically, but that human element is always the dynamic that we have to deal with.
Though staff will wear masks, the Legislative Services Division doesn't have authority to make lawmakers cover their faces. Legislative Council members butted heads over the issue along party lines during a remote meeting earlier this week. Regardless, the Legislative Audit Committee will hold the first so-called hybrid meeting on Monday. That means lawmakers, staff, and the public can participate via Zoom or in person at the Capitol. Audit Chair Dee Brown, a Republican senator from Hungry Horse, says she wants as many lawmakers at the Capitol as possible to accommodate the committee's complicated work. Brown says she asked members to bring masks, but she can't require them.
I can't arm wrestle somebody and demand they wear a mask. I have suggested simply because some people have wanted it, and I want this meeting to go well and be orderly.
The State Administration and Veterans Affairs Committee will also hold a hybrid meeting at the Capitol next week. Kevin Trevlin, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
Republican leaders of the legislature called on Democratic Governor Steve Bullock to make cuts to the state budget. They are anticipating a loss of revenue in the upcoming fiscal year due to the economic fallout from the COVID-19 pandemic. Bullock said cuts were not immediately needed, crediting the state's reserve funds and swift response to the coronavirus. Legislative leaders met with Bullock yesterday to discuss their concerns. Bullock said the state has been able to reopen its economy faster than other states, thanks to its early response and low infection rate. Tests for the COVID-19 illness are becoming available to anyone who wants one in some Montana towns. Pureview Health Center in Helena will offer drive-through testing Saturday. Southwest Montana Community Health Center in Butte is offering free testing by appointment. Governor Steve Bullock yesterday said tourism towns are also drafting community snapshot testing plans to voluntarily screen hospitality, recreation, and food service staff, along with tourists.
These testing events are certainly, though, and we have to remember, just a snapshot in time. Yet it'll hopefully serve as an early warning system and prevent a major outbreak due to travel into our state.
Mass testing events aimed at screening people who aren't showing symptoms have recently popped up at long-term care facilities and tribal communities, with future plans to test all patients at emergency rooms. Montana has seen reports of new cases of COVID-19 uptick over the last 2 weeks as testing increased and the state took more steps to reopen its economy.
With Montana News, I'm Nikki Ouellette. Montana is home to the oldest population west of the Mississippi, and demographic projections show the state growing collectively older. The economic, cultural, and personal impacts of that trend present the state and its residents with new challenges, and with those challenges, opportunities. One challenge many Montana seniors face, especially in rural areas, is maintaining mobility to live out their golden years at home. As a part of the collaborative journalism project Graying Pains, Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports on a low-cost strength training program that's not only building muscle, but a better quality of life and independence for older Montanans.
Remember, you don't need your leg weights on to do the squats.
Montana State University Extension Agent Jane Woolery is leading her second Strong People class of the day inside of the Shodo Baptist Church.
All right, here we go. One, two, three, four.
A handful of women, some over 70, are beginning with squats. And for the next hour, they will move through a variety of guided, sometimes modified exercises using mostly dumbbells and leg weights. This 12-week program has been offered by extension agents throughout the state since 2008, and it's designed to meet people where they're at physically. While designed for older adults, Woolery says over the years, she's had people participate ages 23 to 93.
It's not one of those bulk up sort of
it's take what you've got and make it stronger, and then really feel those differences. Like, you know, if you're lifting something down from a high shelf, you've got the strength to do that without things falling apart. And
Woolery says she's heard plenty of anecdotal evidence about how participants are aging better as a result of weight training twice a week through the program. One woman proudly sent her photos of her using a chainsaw.
She had gone out and been able to clear an entire shelter belt and then haul all the branches to the chipper on her own. And she was so proud of that and without pain. And so to me, that's huge when you're looking at that.
But the Strong People program isn't just geared toward helping seniors stay strong enough for hard yard work. Woolery says one woman who participated moved from using a walker to just a cane. After the class in Shodo ends, 77-year-old Alice Sutherland says this is her second session in the program. She signed up because she had balance issues.
Getting out of bed, I'm a lot less wobbly. I don't think about it as much anymore. And I just feel more secure no matter where I am in walking.
The strength she's built here helps her get up and down the two sets of stairs in her home without worry of falling, which is a big deal for older Montanans trying to remain in their homes longer. But there isn't just anecdotal evidence this program is helping that population throughout the state. Last fall, a team of researchers from Montana State University, Texas A&M, and New York's Cornell University began studying whether the Strong People program can reduce heart disease and diabetes in people 50 or older who weren't lifting weights in recent years. Michelle Grokey is an assistant professor in community health with MSU and a wellness specialist with the university's Extension Service.
And so we set out to actually do the first community-based randomized controlled trial of a strength training program in the country, right here in Montana.
Montana residents are a good test subject because about half of all deaths in the state resulted from either heart disease or cancer as of 2016, according to the state health department. And as of 2015, 60% of the state's roughly 1 million residents were living with at least one chronic condition. Grokey and her fellow researchers asked participants to take a fitness test, measured their average physical activity using an accelerometer, and took blood samples to measure cholesterol and blood sugar levels.
And then we distributed a survey and asked a lot about sleep, you know, sadness, depression, social isolation, perceived stress.
Half went through the Strong People program, and the other half went on with their daily lives before taking the survey again and providing blood samples. The changes in metrics related to risk of diabetes and heart disease are still being analyzed, but Grokey says the survey results showed some major improvements.
And we are very happy to report that 95% felt stronger after the program.
73% reported a decrease in chronic pain, and there were mental benefits too. About three-fourths of participants felt less stressed and anxious.
We also have a lot of reports of older adults experiencing a lot of falls, especially in the winter. And we're happy to hear that 89% improved their balance.
Grokey says while those survey results are a bit subjective, they are in line with past research showing that exercise can decelerate muscle deterioration, which she says typically begins in adults when they hit 30.
Even if you start strength training at age 70, you can decelerate this progression and you can start gaining muscle, which will undoubtedly help you not only decrease your risk of developing a chronic disease, but will increase your strength and decrease risk for osteoporosis.
She says the Strong People program is not only providing those health benefits, but is helping seniors maintain their independence and quality of life much, much longer. In Shodo, I'm Aaron Bolton with Montana Public Radio News.
To learn more about the Strong People program and to read other articles in the Graying Pains series, visit our website, ypradio.org. Graying Pains is produced in partnership with more than a dozen newsrooms across Montana.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds Monday morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.